up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports' daily NFL podcast. It is Tuesday, August the 6th, and we are getting closer and closer to actual football, real life, regular season games. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host of this podcast. Reminder, as we get closer to real football, you're going to need to have your fantasy draft. And that means that you're going to want fantasy information, which means you should be subscribing and listening to Fantasy Football Today with our friends Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings, and Dave Richard, along with the second best podcast host at CBSSports.com. Actually, maybe third best, but he's pretty good. Adam Azer, a friend of mine, who took pot shots at me over a fantasy baseball league. So I'm willing to take pot shots at him. That's Sean Wagner, McGuff.
Who made the playoffs. And you did not make the playoffs.
Congratulations on your playoff berth. I'd won the league 3 years in a row, and everybody knew that. And Azer's like,
allegedly.
It's just, Azer's been in the league for 3 years. He's like, Brinson claims he won it 3 years in a row. It's like, mofo, you would like, took like 6 months to pay me my winnings all 3 years. Don't act like you don't know who won that league.
Beat me in the playoffs last year, so.
That's right. So you can confirm that. Anyway, nobody cares about fantasy baseball. We're here to talk football. John Breach also on the line. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Will.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm glad you guys actually let me be on the full podcast today instead of just bringing me in for the second half like I was some sort of super sub.
Wasn't up to me, Breach.
You just didn't respond in time.
I got to pour one out for Wilson, though, who not only does he go on vacation, but he doesn't tell any of us where he goes so that like we can't stalk him or pull one of those midnight hotel calls like we did last year.
I think it's because he doesn't want – because he gives us so much crap for going on vacation, and he's trying to pass it off as – he's a hardworking guy who never takes a vacation.
Yes.
So he kind of just sneaks away for these mini vacations but he doesn't call them vacations, but he's really taken as many vacations.
He takes just as many vacation days as we do, but he doesn't like to take them in big chunks because then he thinks people know that he likes to take vacation. But really all of August is a giant vacation for him. I mean, he doesn't work. He doesn't bother showing up and he's a layabout.
There's no draft stuff really to do. So he's just coasting.
Yeah.
But you know, we're kidding. Like that, they need a month of rest. You know what I mean? Like, we need them fully charged for the season. I'm happy to let them charge his batteries.
I'm actually kidding because Wilson's done a lot. Wilson does a ton of podcasts, so I appreciate that. You know who's almost as big a concern for me in my life as Ryan Wilson's August? Andrew Luck's calf. Lingering calf strain. He's going to miss the entire week, this week of practice at training camp. It's the second straight week. He told Peter King of NBC Sports that I certainly believe I will be ready for week one. That's certainly the goal, which it's not really like I'll be ready. And I do think that the Colts are a little wary, Sean, of like fibbing about injuries because of the whole Luck shoulder thing that cost him the season. But I'll be honest. I put, a wager in on the Colts to win the AFC South at plus money. And I'm a little panicked right now.
Yeah, when I saw this calf story, I think it was like a couple weeks ago or last week, I kind of dismissed it. You know, we were talking about the Antonio Brown foot injury. I don't really care if someone's, you know, on a week-to-week or day-to-day basis. As long as they're week one, especially for these veterans, it doesn't really matter. Then I saw that quote about the goal is to be there week one, and it just like triggered memories of that shoulder saga because we never really thought that entire time he was going to miss the entire season. And it was always like, oh, he's going to be ready. Oh, he'll miss a couple weeks until suddenly he was put on the IR midway through the year. So I don't know how serious it actually is, but given his history, I think you have to be concerned. I don't know if it's enough for me to say not pick the Colts to win the division because that's who I have right now winning the division. But, you know, they also had the quote about them worried about it could turn into like the Kevin Durant thing. So I don't know. I feel like if this was any other player, we wouldn't be overreacting to it. But because this is Andrew Luck and because he had a shoulder thing that they never said he was going to be out for the year and then he missed an entire year, I think we're right to be at least a little bit concerned.
And I think you should definitely be concerned because this has been lingering for so long. Look, he's been dealing with this since like March or April. And this is – okay, so Brinson, if you woke up last April – and you threw up one morning, you'd probably think, oh, you know what, I probably had something bad to eat. You wouldn't be concerned. But if you were throwing up every morning from April till August, that's a few red flags. That's not good. Like, your body should have healed. Something should be different. And that's kind of like what we have with Luck here. It's a calf injury. It shouldn't be that serious, but all of a sudden it's been lingering for 5 months. And now they're trying to tell us it's going to be magically healed in 4 weeks. Like, if I had to put a percentage on Luck playing, I'd put it at like 60 in week one, just week one, 60-40.
So, Brie, were you going to, who would you pick the Colts to win the, is this enough for you to move off the Colts? I assume you're on the Colts. I feel like all of us are on the Colts.
I am on the Colts, but it is not yet because I don't think, I think the division, everybody is kind of between 6 and 9 wins. So I think as long as, if Luck were to miss 2 games, let's say, and they lost them both, I think they could still be a 9 win team. So I'm not off the Colts yet, but if he is not on the field for at least one preseason game, then I might have to jump on someone else.
Looking, they also do have a good backup, so that's also worth noting, and they refuse to always trade him.
That's right. Jacoby Brissett, NC State guy. Who knew? Worth noting that, right now, I think right now is a pretty good time if you wanted to wager on something at the Westgate. The Houston Texans are 4-1 to win the division they won last year. That's a pretty big number in terms of division. Like, just for context, the Ravens are 3.5-1 to win their division. The Jets are 5-1 to win the AFC East. What's more likely? The Jets win the AFC East or the friggin' Texans win the AFC South? I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. I'd much rather have the Texans. And I think if you've got Luck dealing with that, it's a good time to put something on it. I was just looking locally, and noticed that the AFC South was actually off the board, which is a little surprising. So, you know, just worth monitoring there. Do you think that our Spidey sense would be up if this were a different team and a different player? Or is it like exacerbated by the fact that it is Andrew Luck and he did miss that whole year with the shoulder surgery?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely because it's Luck.
Yeah.
And Luck even himself said he has emotional scars that live with him still from that right shoulder injury. So maybe the cap isn't even as serious as it would be for another player, but for him, you know, he has to be aware anytime he has a lingering type of thing to take it easy.
Arizona Cardinals, 30-1 to win the division. Just worth noting. RJ White kind of likes that bet. I was surprised. It's an interesting bet.
He likes it because it is literally the, like, that's insane for divisional odds. You can never get that good of odds on a team just to win the division. You might see that to win the conference or to win the Super Bowl, obviously, but you never see numbers that
What are
good.
The Dolphins?
The Dolphins are
gotta be higher, I feel like.
55-1.
Yeah.
But like there's no Patriots and I mean I know the Rams.
No, I know. That's why I figured.
You know what though? I actually like that way more than the Cardinals, because you look at, let's just say Tom Brady's 42, he gets hurt. That division is wide open, and the Dolphins went 7-9 last year. Like, it wouldn't be that crazy if Tom Brady is not in this picture that the Dolphins win the division. So I think 55-1 is a better play than the Cardinals at 30-1.
Because in the NFC West, you have, you know, two teams that are front runners, and even the 49ers, you could make a case or, you know, could win the division. So I agree
with
that.
That's loaded, yeah.
I don't know. Look, it's probably not going to hit, but 30-1 is pretty good value. It's better than when I take the Giants at 17.5-1 before all of their players get hurt.
How drunk were you on a scale of 1 to 10 when you made that bet?
Like 1 to 10, like average person drunk, or like 1 to 10 me drunk?
Jesus, you drunk.
Like a 3.5 or something.
What does that translate to on average?
Like a 7? I don't know. no, I'm just kidding. Like for instance, Saturday night in the mountains, by the time I went to bed, I was probably like an 8.5 for me. So that's
like a 12.5.
Yeah, average. Yeah, 12.5. Yes. I woke up and both of my credit cards that I had with me were missing. I was like, oh boy. I just dropped my phone in the bathroom and they like slid underneath the thing. So it was fine. It wasn't a big deal. It seemed a lot more dangerous than I thought. Don't look at me judgmentally, Sean.
Breach, I think we need to get together with Ryan and schedule some sort of intervention. We'll do it.
It's already on the schedule. Once you start losing credit cards, that's when you know you had a wild night.
See you in Fort Lauderdale for the intervention. the Washington Redskins, speaking of the NFC East, currently have Colt McCoy listed as their number one quarterback, Case Keenum number two, Dwayne Haskins number three. This is what Jay Gruden had to say about this. It's early, and I was forced to make the depth chart. I wouldn't have made a depth chart right now. There's no reason to. It's silly. But that's for the media and for me to come up and answer these questions. But really, that's all it is. Words on a piece of paper, names on a piece of paper, and an order that means nothing at this point. Gruden said before putting down his copy of Great Gatsby and like doing something else in his office. I tend to agree with him. I mean, how much stock do you put into this, Sean? You're laughing. I don't know if it's my Great Gatsby reference. Maybe you're not a F. Scott Fitzgerald guy.
Nah, just Jay Gruden just sounds like that, like, dead man walking. Like, he just knows he's gone. He's just like, what do you want me to do with these three quarterbacks? I'm not doing anything with them. I don't think it's surprising. I don't think it's that important. I don't think it's surprising because Colt McCoy got there the same year that Jay Gruden did. He's been in that offense for a long time. He's battling against a rookie and a newcomer who's been on, I think, four teams in that span that he's been in Washington. So it makes sense that he would have the best grasp on the offense early. They do have a bit of a problem up front without a left tackle. And I know this ain't Donald Penn, but Penn's not nearly as good as Trent Williams, and Colt McCoy might offer them the most mobility. So I don't think it's surprising he would get the first crack at it. That said, I would have a hard time believing. I think I said this on yesterday's pod. I feel like all three quarterbacks are going to start a game this season because if Colt McCoy wins the job week one, which I wouldn't be that surprised just because of familiarity with the offense, I think he's getting benched by week two or three for like a Keenum or Haskins. I would probably wait to do Haskins later because I don't think you can bench Haskins and go back to McCoy or Keenum. So I don't think it's surprising. And with all quarterback battles, it's going to come down to the preseason most likely, just whoever plays well in the preseason. And what this means is Colt McCoy might start Thursday night against the Browns and he might get the first crack at it. But I would expect all three quarterbacks to get starts in the preseason and substantial minutes in the preseason. Whoever plays well in real football, not at practice, is going to get the job.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think, well, go ahead, John, you got something to say.
I was just going to say, I feel sorry for Jay Gruden. It's like the guy has no control over what's happening. He's got Colt McCoy, then Bruce Allen's, you know, let's make this a little crazier. Let's go and trade for Case Keenum. Let's draft Dwayne Haskins. So he's just like throwing all these quarterbacks in his lap, hoping Gruden can make it work. And if he doesn't make it work, you know who's getting fired? Not Bruce Allen. So it's just an absurd situation. I hope Jay Gruden goes 16-0 and like gets named general manager and Daniel Snyder sells the team to Jay Gruden because that guy has just been through. I don't think any coach could succeed in that situation. I don't think depth charts mean anything in the preseason. I remember Russell Wilson was behind Matt Flynn in 2012. After he got drafted. So I do agree with Gruden on that. I think that there is a possibility that Haskins could be starting by week one if he looks way better than these other two guys during the preseason.
Jay Gruden next year is coaching for the Las Vegas Raiders, right? As an assistant coach?
Almost certainly. As the offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders. Right? Right. There's a very good, yeah. And it's just like,
And he's also going to live next door to Derek Carr.
Hey, so this is just randomly interesting, but I find it kind of hilarious. I was just sort of bringing up some sites to look at odds, you know, like to check and see what, you know, like look, I was looking at the odds for the divisional matchups and, I saw on, locally they've listed MVP odds. Well, first of all, I was like, oh man, they got Ben Roethlisberger on here at 36.5-1, which I might have to play because I like that. But more hilariously, like Cam Newton is listed on here as Cameron Jarrell Newton, 37.5-1. And then like down a little bit further, it's like James Richard Garoppolo, 38-1.
Trying to confuse people so they don't like take it because they're like, oh, who's this guy?
But T.Y. Hilton is on here twice. One says Eugene Marquise T.Y. Hilton and another as Eugene T.Y. in air quotes Hilton. I'm very confused. It's very
Do they have the same odds?
Yes, 147.5-1.
It'd be great if one of them had better or worse odds.
It's very bizarre. Mitchell Trubisky, 56.5-1. So I've already got my wager in on Mitch at 200-1, of course, with our friend Ryan. We all do. Derek Carr, 109-1. He's now 30-1 in Vegas, according to the Westgate. So there's some value there. As we all know, I can't take Derek Carr to win the MVP.
I mean, that is tempting though.
109 is a lot.
Don't like Derek Carr.
Yeah. Andrew Luck, by the way, 7.7-1. Don't like it. Don't like
we're,
it.
I think we're slowly what you see is like us getting off the Colts bandwagon. Like we have one leg starting to like prepare to leap onto the Texans.
Kirk Cousins 47-1. Kind of like it. What do you think?
Do you like Kirk Cousins as MVP?
Yeah.
There is no number that number could be to make me on put this, any amount of money on Kirk Cousins to win MVP.
On this podcast, when we get to the playoff teams, he's going to make his case for the Vikings when he trashes the Bears. I already know this. Because he said on yesterday's podcast that he thinks the Vikings are going to be really good.
I actually think it was a really good argument for Kirk Cousins that if the Vikings can take a step forward, that he could be – he's going to have to win some primetime games late in the year. But if the Vikings
– he throws for over 4,000 yards and like every 35 year, yeah. touchdowns every single year. Yeah. If they win 13 games or 12 games, which isn't inconceivable.
No, he's going to be one –
and he doesn't collapse in primetime, I think he has a shot.
Yeah, at 50-1, I mean, it's worth it.
What are Lamar Jackson's odds?
I think he actually came down – a 73-1.
What if he rushes for 1,000 yards, throws for 3,000 yards, and the Ravens make the playoffs?
He will be one of the five guys under consideration then. I would certainly rather have, 73-1, I don't mind him. Matthew Stafford, 88.5-1. Phillip Rivers, 21-1. Yeah. I just think you need to be over 30. Like, it's gotta be, I'd like somebody in the 45 plus range to actually, to have some decent value to it. One guy that I might not play, but he seems to win these things a lot. Tom Brady, 10-1. Some quasi-shocking news with Tom Brady. I don't know how much you guys put into this, but as reported by Ian Rappaport of NFL Media First, Tom Brady's new contract, which we talked about yesterday, includes a provision that does not allow the Patriots to transition tag or franchise tag him for the 2020 season. Because his final 2 years automatically void on the final day of the 2019 league year, Brady cannot be tagged. He cannot sign a new extension because he just signed one. He will technically be a free agent. John Breach, this reeks of a Breachian story.
This reeks
of... No, hold on. Actually, I'm going to ask you a different question. You're in charge of writing the headline for this story about this factoid. What is the headline?
Tom Brady puts rare contract provision in newest extension.
Oh, yeah. Shoot it in my veins, baby. That's good stuff. I would click.
That? That's the sound of a million people clicking.
I would, God, I just clicked. I do think, though, that it is like the obvious comparison here is Drew Brees. I guess last year when Brees was technically a free agent, even though Brees had made it clear that he wasn't going to go anywhere and he was going to sign with the Saints, but he did become a free agent because he didn't want to be franchise tagged. Is there any shenanigans about this that raise your radar, Breach, outside of just some eccentricities with the contract? I mean, Brady's not playing anywhere else.
Brady kind of hinted before Rappaport reported this and anyone caught on, Brady kind of hinted at it in his press conference. He does one once a week and he had it on Monday morning, and I don't think anybody really picked up on it, and I didn't even pick him up until after this news came out. But he was asked, is there a sense of relief getting his contract done? And he said, there's a lot of guys who have 1 year left on their contract. I've got 1 year to go and we'll see what happens. And that was from literally Monday. He was asked about his extension and he said there was only 1 year left. And I have 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens. So he kind of broke his own news on his contract. Yeah. And I don't think – it kind of feels like that Brady is just coming to terms with this could be his last year. That's what this says to me, that, you know what, maybe if we win the Super Bowl, this is where I'm going to retire. This is the one where I go out on top. Because maybe he does – maybe he worked out this entire offseason, felt himself slip like 3 to 5%, nothing crazy. What he does know is he gets older, that number is going to get higher, and then he's going to look like Colt McCoy next year. And then the Patriots are going to fall off the wagon. So I think this just says, hey, maybe I'm thinking about retirement 1,000 times more than I would have last year or even 2 years ago.
Is it possible that he listens to this podcast and heard Pete Prisco predict that the Buffalo Bills will win the AFC East in 2020? And he's like, I'm scared. I'm too scared of that prediction. I'm out of here after 2019, no matter what happens. Super Bowl or bust. Don't care. I'm out of here. I do think it is weird though that like he got $8 million. Like you couldn't funnel $8 million through like some other means that I won't mention.
TV12.
Shh. If you say that loudly, Patriots fans will tweet you angrily. Like you're trying to insinuate that Tom Brady's breaking the law. I'm like, no, I'm just saying that the Patriots figured out a way to circumvent the salary cap. That's all I'm saying. It's a smart move. I don't think. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, why did you want $8 million more? It's just bizarre.
I mean, did you see the breakdown of the contract? So the actual extension, which – so the numbers were meaningless, and the Patriots knew they were meaningless, right? So why pick any numbers? And it came out to an average of – the extension was worth 3 years, $84-something million dollars overall, which brings his average to $28.3 million. Number one, that's higher than Jimmy Garoppolo, which was pointed out by multiple people. And number two, $28.3 million is such a weird number. And we saw the Patriots get the 283 diamonds in their Super Bowl ring because their 28-3 comeback. Like, there's no way is a coincidence that Tom Brady worked out a deal where he was getting an average of $28.3 million when the last 2 years of the contract meant nothing. He hates the Falcons. He loves that Super Bowl win.
I like that.
I'm here for it.
I didn't even think about that.
Wow. That Breeze is going to get two stories out of this. It's like two stories out of this.
I can't believe he hasn't written that story already. How is that not already?
Surprising amount of restraint, John. We're really, really impressed with you. He's up to something. He knows that like writing about it right now doesn't help. And he knows that whoever is writing it for like the actual site is going to just update the previous story we had. So he can go back through and be like, he'll like come into Slack and say something like, hey guys, I'm just going to hit something on that little rare thing in that Tom Brady deal and then write in a, like an extra.
And no one's going to hear this podcast till tomorrow. So.
Exactly. That's it. That's it. By the way, pretty cool. Just noting this, iTunes or Apple Podcasts, right? So they rebooted their charts, and they've added a specific football chart. And so if you go to the iTunes store right now, and you go to the sports podcast homepage, we're on the sports podcast homepage. How cool is that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
If you scroll down, this football and the top three options are.
I always try to look for us to see if we're on like the top sports or whatever. And then I was like, why did they not divide by sports? That I feel like that makes no sense. They should have separate sporting categories.
So I think they're starting to do that. We are currently, 89th in sports, jammed right in between Menace to Society podcast and the Hunting Collective, which, you know, basically the same.
Are we
thing.
Ahead of the Hunting Collective?
We are behind the Hunting Collective.
Ah, all right. Come on, guys. By the end of the next season, we gotta take them down.
We're also behind the Mina Kimes Show, Levitard and Friends, and a podcast called Talking Cowboys. So we got that going for us. Let's click. Let's subscribe, unsubscribe,
is
and jump past those.
Podcast talking about American West Cowboys or football Cowboys?
Football Cowboys.
Okay. But I would listen to either. I'm a fan of either.
Yeah, so when I go to the sports podcast page, we are the third listed podcast under football.
That's what I'm saying. Pretty awesome, huh?
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, click on that link, everybody. The more you click on the page, the more it like vaults us up the rankings and I don't know. Subscribe, unsubscribe, and us just tell you that. I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Moving along.
The throwback thing they used to say.
I know. Very quickly, just a couple of news items, and then we'll get to a break, and we'll talk about these teams. Lavonte David underwent knee surgery. He's expected to be ready for week one, but that's what they say is a meniscus cleanup thing. That's what they say about everybody who undergoes surgery in early August. He's expected to be back week one. We'll see about that. The Buccaneers lost Quan Alexander this offseason. Jason Pierre-Paul isn't going to be there. Gerald McCoy is gone. They need Lavonte David in that lineup, especially with Devin White coming in as a rookie. And Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. not practicing this week with an illness. Doesn't seem to be anything serious, but just worth monitoring. Jerry Jones said about Zeke, Dak, and Amari. We're recording this at 3:15 on Monday, so I can't call my buddy Zeke, but that was a potentially popular segment, except for the fact that, I don't know if you guys heard, I left his phone number in the podcast. I got a lot of messages about that. People are like, dude, you left Zeke's phone number in the podcast. Everyone's going to call him. I was like, why would they call Zeke? So don't call Zeke if you got his number. Do me a favor. We're going to keep him going. Just know that like so many things, it'll happen. It'll happen. Jerry Jones said there literally is no concern on my part at all about any time frame. That'll happen. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. Think about it now. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. That always happens when it's good for both of us. Okay, man, whatever you say, Jerry. And then, very quickly, thoughts and prayers to the family of Don Banks, the longtime Sports Illustrated writer who passed in his sleep on over the weekend while he was in Canton at a hotel room. I mean, I didn't know Don really well. I knew him. I'd hung out with him a few times. He's only 56 years old, which is a major league reality check for anybody who's, you know, getting up there. I mean, I'm, you know, myself included, but I mean, far too young. One of the nicest guys you will ever meet in the NFL business. I don't know if you guys interacted with him or not, but Don was a good dude, and RIP to him. We will look at some teams that might be able to take a step back and miss the playoffs in 2019 after this break.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, so every single year I do five teams who are going to make and five teams who are going to miss. And this year I got my five, and they're targeted right at John Breach and Sean Wagner McGuff. The Bengals will not make it. I'm just kidding. The Bengals didn't make it last year. Sure. Just kidding. The Bengals are not on my teams to take a step forward. Sorry, John. But there is an AFC sad emoji. I love it. There is an AFC North team that is on my list of teams to fall back. And it is the most obvious team on this whole list of last year's list of playoff teams. It's the Baltimore Ravens. My theory on the Ravens, if you look at them, they got extremely lucky down the stretch when they played, in order, the Bengals, who were 26 against the run by, according to DVOA, the Raiders, 22nd, Falcons, 30th, Chiefs, 32nd, Buccaneers, 31st, Chargers, 10th, and then the Browns, 25th. They got, it's like hitting a lottery ticket to have all but like two of the worst teams against the run when you're switching your team to a run heavy attack, which the Ravens were. I credit them for being, aggressive and experimental and all that stuff with Lamar Jackson. But John, I'm telling you what, Breacher, I look at this and I just feel like maybe the Ravens offense could take a step back. Am I crazy?
Do you have that DVOA list in front of you against the run? Or are you just reading off notes?
Yeah, what do you want? What's your?
Where did the Dolphins rank last year?
Well, John, I mentioned this as well. Actually, the Dolphins are 24th, the Cardinals are 29th, the Chiefs and the Browns are their team. So they could start out hot. I'm not saying they can't.
4-0, man. That's first four games of the season, Will. And all of a sudden you're 4-0 and maybe you're not missing the playoffs. And I just want to point out, Will doesn't just pull these numbers out of his behind, which some people think. The reason he does five playoff teams is because since 1990, when the NFL expanded the playoff format to 12 teams, so since 1990, we're at 29 seasons since then, there have been at least four teams to miss the playoffs the next season. So they make it one season, they miss the next season. It happens every single year, and five's a way more round and fun number. And anyway, I disagree with you, Brinson. I think the Ravens are not going to take a step back.
Wow. Do you think they're a playoff team?
I mean, I do. I think that we just said that they're lucking out again. So I don't know if someone in the scheduling office loves them, that they got four teams that are horrible against the run last year. They're opening up against the Dolphins, Cardinals, Chiefs, and Browns in 2019. And just because of that, it's all winnable. Sure, it doesn't sound like they could beat the Chiefs, but we saw that game last year. If you're on the ground and you have the ball for 58 minutes of the entire game and Patrick Mahomes only has it for 2 minutes, he can only score one touchdown. So, like, they've got an offense that if it can stay on the field and keep Mahomes off, you keep it a low-scoring game. It's exactly what they did last year, and they almost won that game. The Browns, we don't know. So they start 4-0. I think they have a shot at the playoffs, and I do think that 3-1 or 4-0 is not out of the question.
I actually don't agree with you. By the way, they were 2-4 in one score game. No, I mean, like, I, and look, here's the other thing. When I was putting this together, I was like, man, this is so obvious and easy a few weeks ago. I was like, I'm getting scared about the idea of fading Lamar Jackson. Like, I feel like Lamar Jackson could have a monster year. I do think that it's going to be difficult for him, given his size and NFL defenses, to run as much as John Harbaugh has said he wants him to. But Greg Roman's had success with Tyrod Taylor and Colin Kaepernick. They were 2-4 in one score games last year, which is means they were unlucky, and they actually underperformed the Pythagorean theorem for win totals. It was 10.8, and they won just 10 games. So maybe Breach is right, Sean.
Yeah, I think I fall somewhere in the middle, whereas I don't know. I don't feel confident saying they're going to miss the playoffs, but I do think they might be a regression candidate. Look, to Breach's point, they were the sixth best team by DVOA, one spot behind the Bears, one spot in front of the Patriots. Their point differential was plus 102, which was 3 points better than the Chargers, 13 points better than the Colts. So I think this is actually a good football team. Now, you look at what they did in the offseason. They added Earl Thomas, which I think a lot of us liked here. Mm-hmm. But they also lost C.J. Mosley and they lost Darius Smith. So I don't know if they're going to – that defense takes a slight step back. And so then you look at the offense. Is that offense going to be able to take the next step? And to your point, they can't run the ball like they did with Lamar Jackson because he's probably going to get hurt if he takes those hits again. And while I like what they did in the draft getting those receivers, to me this doesn't seem like an offense that's going to necessarily take off this year. This seems like a next year team that we're all going to be high on them because hopefully towards the end of the year we see some development. And so the last thing working against them too is that division. The Browns, we all think – or a lot of people think are going to take that next step, maybe win two more games this year. And I don't think we can discount the Steelers. So that's what the Ravens have going against them. So I can see both sides of it, I guess what I'm saying. I'm not going to pick them to win the division, I don't think, but they're that team. I wouldn't be surprised if they win the division. And I feel like I've been talking up John Harbaugh a lot on the podcast. I think he's really underappreciated, and he's had one bad year, which I think was a Flacco injury year. He's always at least right around 8-8, 7-9, 9-7. So I think they're that team that entering December is going to be very much in the wild card race. And if at that point in the season, if those rookie receivers are starting to develop and if Lamar Jackson is starting to develop, then absolutely they can make the playoffs.
One more. I went NFC heavy on here, I think. Yeah, I did. I had one more AFC team on here as well. I think it's another pretty obvious choice. I was sort of talking these out with RJ White, our editor. I like to bounce odds and stuff and these lists off of one of our editors. Houston, the Houston Texans are a team that make a lot of sense as a regression candidate to me. I know I just advise everyone to bet on them 4-1 to win the AFC South. So, you know, maybe pulling a Jerry Jones here. But I go back and look at that Houston Texans season last year, and I mean, we were saying it as it was happening, right? Like, they start out 0-3. Now, they weren't terrible in one-score games. They had 6-5, so it's not like they were, like, crazy lucky. Their win expectancy was 10.2, and they won 11. I just look at that stretch of games where they beat the Colts in overtime, beat the Cowboys in overtime, then got the Bills at home, a bad Jaguars team on the road, thumped the Dolphins on Monday night, snuck one out in Denver, snuck one out in Washington by 2 points, hammered the Titans, took care of the Browns, a team that, you know, like Baker Mayfield hadn't seen any great defenses, and then lost to the Colts. They had that long winning streak, and it was like they were the worst. They were 0-3. It was like, is Bill O'Brien getting fired? Then they ripped off this win, and I'm just not sure that those wins were necessarily great wins. And I felt like when we got to the playoffs, it was very obvious. My concern with the Texans, Sean, is that I love Deshaun Watson. I think he's awesome. He is injury prone. I mean, he's had torn his ACL twice in his career, including college. And I think also when you look at J.J. Watt, he's had a bunch of injuries. And I think this is a stars and scrubs roster with no GM and a coach who's wielding a little too much power. So I would pick the Texans to fall back to the pack a little bit here.
Yeah, and the only reason I think I would take the Texans to repeat as division champs is if Andrew Luck actually does miss time with that calf. It's hard for me to pick against them because I too also really love Deshaun Watson. I mean, I ranked them ahead of Baker Mayfield on the top 25 under 25 list. The thing that really bugs me about the Texans, because I wanted to pick them, is how the draft shook out. And we knew they needed offensive line help, and they certainly took an offensive lineman in Titus Howard. But Andre Dillard was sitting there one pick before them, and then the Eagles come up and swoop them. And that really annoyed me because it seemed like he was the most obvious pick for them. The left tackle they kind of needed to help solidify that offensive line. And to have him go to a team that doesn't even need offensive line help right the second was kind of painful to watch that happen. I don't know, is Tytus Howard going to be an instant upgrade? He might be a good long-term pick, but I feel like the scouting report coming out of him was he's kind of raw. He needs time to refine his blocking. So that concerns me. The injury history concerns me. J.J. Watt potentially slowing down concerns me. You know, Clowney also has an injury history. So we're talking about, you said there's stars and scrubs team. Three of their stars are injury prone. So I think that's also a concern. It's tough because I was going through the other night and trying to think who I was going to pick to make the playoffs. And I think the Texans were one of the teams that I had the last few out. And I wanted to find a way to put them in.
So 2017, they finished last place. And me and Wilson both picked them to win the division last year, 2018. So I just want Texans fans, all you Texans fans listening, I picked your team to win the division last year. I am on Brinson's bandwagon right now. I think the Texans might finish in last place in 2019. I think I put together schedule rankings every summer. The Texans have the toughest schedule in the AFC. They open up on the road at New Orleans. Week three, they have the Chargers. Later on, they play the Chiefs, the Patriots. They got to play the Falcons, the Colts twice. I mean, this is a tough, tough schedule. As Sean mentioned, they don't have an offensive line. Sean Watson's going to get beat up, which isn't good when you're injury prone. I really could see this team dropping to the back of the pack. And of course, in the AFC South, 6-10, 7-9 might end up being last place. So it's not going to be like they're going to fall to 1-15. But I agree with Prince. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and I think they might just finish in last place in that division.
Wow. All right. Now let's get personal with these things. You know what time it is, Sean. It's time to tell you that the Bears are going to suck this year. No, but I do think that here's the problem. You have to take the list of playoff teams from the year before and find five teams who might not make it. It's not easy. It's really effing easy to find five teams who will make it. Cause you're like, the Browns and Packers are going to have a great year. The Steelers will bounce back. I mean, that's three right there. And then like you can pick the Panthers. I mean, like just off the top of your head, that's not hard to do. It is very hard to find five teams who will not make the playoffs because you want to be optimistic this time of year. I do think the Bears are a potential qualifier though. And look, people have to understand when we take Mitchell Trubisky 200-1 to win the MVP, that doesn't mean we think he's actually going to win the MVP. There is a scenario that is more likely than 200-1 where he does take a leap forward, take some strides in the second year of this offense with Matt Nagy. Allen Robinson develops. Tariq Cohen has another big year. Trey Burton plays well. I mean, I get it. There's a scenario. But I think when you look at them, I mean, they were ninth overall in terms of points scored, but the offense was not that great. And so it's possible that the offense takes a small step forward or even just stagnates a little bit. And the defense comes back to the pack. And that is sort of, my scenario, Sean, for which way the Bears, who were 6-4 in one score games, 11.5, game win expectancy, and they won 12. So they were a little bit lucky on those side of things. That's sort of the scenario, coupled with the Vikings being a much better team, maybe the Lions being a little improved, and the Packers, of course, being better. That's the scenario for which the Bears, maybe even go 10-6 and just miss the playoffs, or 9-7.
So that's what I was going to say, is I was going to agree with you that I think, look, everyone in the analytics community has been talking about how the Bears are the poster boys for regression.
Sure.
They lost two key contributors on defense, and then they lost their defensive coordinator. They were the fourth healthiest team, I think, on defense last year, according to Football Outsiders, the sixth healthiest offense. Injuries tend to, injury luck tends to regress year to year.
100%.
And it's actually harder statistically to maintain defensive dominance. That usually fluctuates more on a year-to-year basis. So I completely agree with you. I think they regress, but they won 12 games last year. So I think when I say they regress, I think they regress to 9 or 10 wins. And when I look at this division, so the reason I'm disagreeing with you obviously here is because I don't think the rest of the teams have done enough to close the gap. And you said at the end, you said obviously the Packers are going to be improved. I don't think the Packers are an obvious improvement team. I really don't. I mean, yesterday on the podcast, I threw out Matt LaFleur as a potential coach on the hot seat, because what has he done outside of Sean McVay? And he wasn't calling plays with the Rams when he was under Sean McVay. And I get this year, last year in Nashville, the Titans wasn't his fault with, Blaine Gabbert at quarterback and Marcus Mariota not being able to feel his hands. But it's not like that Titans offense was any good. And so you look at all the pieces they got on defense. There's a lot of young players on that defense. Sometimes, it's just our projection. We think all these defensive players are going to be good. We think Rashawn Gary is going to play well at the next level. It might not happen in his rookie year. Are we sure Mike Pettine is a good defensive coordinator? I mean, people thought that Packers defense was going to be really good last year. It simply wasn't. I think they overpaid for Adrian Amos. And I know it's easy for me to say as a Bears fan, because they let him walk away, but I don't think he's going to magically make that back end of that defense, a lot better. And so I think the one team that you make a case for to beat them in the NFC North is the Vikings. But then you just look at those Vikings versus Bears games this past year, and that offensive line just could not handle the Bears up front, and the Bears did not lose players up front. The Bears, you know, stayed the same up front, and there's a lot of people who think Leonard Floyd is going to have a breakout. So I agree with you. I think the Bears will regress, but what I see is 10 wins. I still think they win that division. And look, the Packers weren't even close to the Bears last year. The Bears were fifth in DVOA. The Packers were 19th. I think their like point differential difference was like 162 or something like that. So the Packers were closer to the Lions than they were to the Bears. Mm. So I think the Bears regress, but I don't think they regress to the point where they let the Packers or Vikings overtake them.
Ooh, wait, you don't think the, so you don't think the Bears will miss the playoffs?
No, I think they went, I think I only have one team coming out of the North.
Is that a Game of Thrones joke or is that a?
No, it's just, okay. I know, I see why you would think that.
Any thoughts on Chicago?
Every time I say North, I don't say. It's not a Game of Thrones reference.
I'll just say real quick that Sean talking about how it sounds like he thinks the Bears are definitely better than the Packers and Vikings and bringing up the Packers DVOA and blah, 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 Sean stuff. But here's the thing. There was only one game where those two teams were both at full strength last season. It was week one. The Packers won. Aaron Rodgers injured his knee. At that point, he's pretty much hobbled the rest of the season. So that Packers offense wasn't running anywhere close to full strength. And no matter what we think of what Mike Pettine's going to do, the defense is upgraded talent-wise. Now, whether they're going to gel and be better overall, we can question that. But there is no question that they have more talent. So when you have more talent, you have a new system. Mike McCarthy, like the three of us could have sat here and predicted every play the Packers were going to run last year. You can't do that anymore. Matt LaFleur, you know, they had a Band-Aid offense in Tennessee. That team still went 9-7 last year with half the talent and neither of those quarterbacks, Gabbert or Mariota, even close to what Aaron Rodgers is. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Matt LaFleur. And, God, I hate to say it again, but I agree with Brinson. I think that the Packers are probably the best team in the division. And I agree with Deshaun in the sense that I think this division probably only gets one team into the playoffs. So if we both think it's the Packers going in, then bye, Bears.
By the way, I think most people would probably –
Stop Bears.
I think when we see like all these sites put out their season predictions, I would be willing to bet more people have the Packers than the Bears winning the division.
That's correct. There will be a bunch of people who have the Packers winning the division. I will be taking the Vikings. We'll get to that more later this week. but I think I agree. I think people like to find opportunities to zig when they're, you know, in different directions.
And the Bears are just such an obvious regression team. That's what I was saying. I think they will regress because it's just way too obvious.
All right, moving along from the Bears because we're running out of time. The Dallas Cowboys quietly have gone 13-3, 9-7, and 10-6 in the last 3 years, with Jason Garrett losing twice in the, divisional round. Once did not make the playoffs and they went 9-7. I'm a little wary of this one. I think the Bears, Texans, and Ravens are the obvious candidates. And then when you're picking another team, you could look at maybe the Chiefs.
The Chiefs
could regress. The Chiefs could easily regress. Their defense could stink. What?
I mean, you didn't pick them, so we don't have to have a long argument about it. I just think that picking the team with the best quarterback in football is just.
I mean, he had his.
I agree. They're going to regress, but when people say the Chiefs' offense is going to regress, people aren't saying they're going to be a bad offense. They're just going to go from being a historically great offense to just the number one scoring offense.
Yeah, right. But like, give RJ.
The Chiefs have never had a losing record under Andy Reid. They're not just going to start losing next year.
Andy Reid is the reason. Andy Reid is the reason I'm scared, not Patrick Mahomes. To be perfectly honest, like Mahomes is great, but like Matt Ryan and the Falcons went 7-9 last year. Crap happens in the NFL. Like, I mean,
but that's not Matt Ryan's not Patrick Mahomes. And Matt Quinn is not Andy Reid.
I'm saying Andy Reid's the reason why. Like, I think if you put like. Like maybe you put somebody else in charge of the Chiefs, they could absolutely come back to earth. I just think Andy Reid is such a good coach that it won't happen. So I'm not going to do that. I'm willing to bet against Jason Garrett. How about that? Okay. Like, I'm willing to bet against Jason Garrett. I'm a little worried because I think the Cowboys look like a very good roster. They have an excellent offensive line. When they added Amari Cooper last year, their offense took off. I think Dak Prescott is a sneaky MVP candidate. Value at 50-1. Certainly at 100-1, I like him. Defensively with Leighton Vander Esch, and Jalen Smith, DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, they have a team that could, you know, could easily end up having a really good year, but they were an expected win loss last year of 8.4 and finished at 10-6. That is a big difference. You know, and I think when you look at them, what you see is a team that won a lot of close games, especially down the stretch. Their one score game record, I believe, let's see, they were 1-2. Oh yeah, they had a great record in one score games, like 6-2. That's a major.
It's a red flag.
It's a major red flag. The win expectancy is a major red flag. The only thing that concerns me a little bit, and then the other thing is the Zeke Elliott stuff. Like, what if Zeke Elliott isn't playing right away? That could be a problem. They could suffer injuries on defense very easily. They're not deep on defense. And so I would not be surprised at all if the Cowboys struggled. I do worry a little bit because the Giants could be terrible. The Redskins are probably terrible. Even if the Eagles are great, it's asking a lot for the Cowboys to just crater, but they could easily go 9-7 and miss the playoffs.
Brenton, if Zeke Elliott misses any games, let's say he misses the first 3 weeks, which one concerns you the most? Week one versus the Giants, week two versus the Redskins, or week three versus the Dolphins?
Wow.
Well, what if Zeke doesn't play and they go 1-2 in those games?
Well, then Jerry Jones gave him a blank check. But if they go 3-0 in those games, then all of a sudden this holdout gets spicy and Jerry's dancing around. He's like, hey, we don't need you, Zeke. You sit on. I don't have to pay you. That money's getting added to our salary cap every week you miss. But anyway, you said we need to cut this short and be fast. I'm going to be fast. And the Cowboys are making the playoffs. Everything you just said is wrong.
Okay. It's bold. Got anything there, Sean, on the Cowboys?
I agree with everything you said. My only fear is that division sucks except the Eagles, but if Carson Wentz gets an injury, then suddenly the Cowboys are winning that division with 8 wins. I'm just saying, if the Eagles are the only thing standing in the Cowboys' path, and I think the Eagles are a better team, and I think they'll win the division, but they got a quarterback who can't seem to make it through a season healthy. So if he goes down, I don't think they don't have Foles anymore. So I think 8 or 9 wins could win that division. And I think the Cowboys, while you're saying regression, I agree with you, I think they're going to be around 8-8, 9-7. I think they're going to be competitive.
Didn't your Madden simulation pick the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think I would think the Eagles could, look, the Eagles could be a regression team too. But you basically have to pick one of the Eagles or Cowboys because nobody thinks the Redskins and Giants are going to steal a spot from that division.
So taking the Eagles in that division
to regress or to win.
Comfortable because of Wentz's health.
I know, but you got it. But if you're doing for this exercise, you got to pick one of those two teams not to make the playoffs. And you know what
Cowboys.
I mean? Yeah, I'd rather take the Cowboys. I don't want to bet against. Doug Peterson and the friggin'
that Eagles roster is really good. Very good. Yeah. Really deep.
So the Cowboys roster is pretty good too, Sean.
Kellen Moore is going to be a big X factor here.
Yes, I do agree with that.
And then finally, the last team that I picked to miss the playoffs, the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh no, Brenton.
Yeah, I don't like it.
All right. Tell me why.
Because it seems like we've made such a big deal about this Goff stuff. And yes, I've played a significant role in making a big deal out of it. They were still the second team by DVOA. They were still crushing teams for, you know, the vast majority of the season. And by the way, even when Goff wasn't playing well, they were still winning a lot of games. It's not like they went on this, you know, big losing streak. So I don't know if they win the division because I still like the Seahawks despite Reed's suspension, but I don't see them losing fewer than, you know, 9 or 10 games. Fewer than 10 games. I think they're a double-digit win team.
They are the top favorite of that division. I could have easily picked the Seahawks. Worth noting, they went 6-1 in one-score games. The Rams did last year. It's a pretty big number. That tends to regress back to the mean a little bit. We don't think that they're going to have a Todd Gurley at maximum capacity. Cooper Kupp's coming off an ACL. Jared Goff is bad down the stretch. They're not going to get the division has to be better. I mean, the Seahawks should be tough again. I thought about going with the Seahawks in this spot too, but I mean, I think you got to pick one. And I'd rather bank on the Rams potentially regressing. I mean, they got out to 10-1, and then really were not good in the second half of the season after their bye. And I don't know. I just feel like there could be a little bit of a hangover in the Super Bowl here. I feel like you might see a team that struggles to come out right away and dominate. So I'm going to go with the Rams as my fifth team.
And I will say real quick that Sean McVay, you know, he's coming to his third year, and maybe it wasn't so – I mean, obviously Jared Goff was regressing, but maybe we start to see defensive coordinators figure out Sean McVay's offense. You can only run so many jet sweeps before people start to say, I think that guy's going to run a jet sweep.
That's right.
And so, yeah, so it's where you get to this third year, and this becomes the pivotal year because you don't really have time to study it that first year. So McVay just kind of blew everyone away. They go 13-3 or 11-5. I think they went 11 and 5. So they go 11 and 5 his first year. He kind of modifies, gets better. But then we saw Bill Belichick. We saw what those guys did to the Rams offense. Absolutely shut it down. And that was with Goff struggles at the end of the regular season. So I don't think it's crazy what Brinson's spinning out here, even though they've won 24 games in 2 years with McVay. I'm going to agree with Brinson, even though Sean McVay went to Miami, Ohio, the best college in the entire world. I'm going to agree with Brinson and say the Rams miss the playoffs.
All right, so you guys didn't match up with all of mine, and that's good. That's to be expected. Who are other candidates that you could see missing the playoffs? I would assume that we can safely rule out the New England Patriots. The Colts are, if this Andrew Luck thing is an issue, the Colts are on this list, okay? Like, if they're going 16 games with Jacoby Brissett or Andrew Luck has a bad calf, the Colts are on this list. I don't know if you guys want to rule out the Chargers. But you can. Although Sean, if I'm demanding that the Chiefs are potentially on the list, Sean might refuse not to have the Chargers on there. As we mentioned, the Cowboys and Eagles is sort of an inflection point. I think the NFC North is a prime spot for it. The Saints are a team that could fall back.
The Saints. That was going to be my dark horse team. Cause look, you have Drew Brees. He's not on a TB12 diet. He's not as good shape as Tom Brady. So his arms start getting sore. All of a sudden he doesn't last for their entire season or he regresses. It's not that crazy to think that the Panthers or the Falcons could come up, win the division, and get the wild card, and leaving New Orleans in third place. So if I was going to list, I know I disagreed with one of yours, Brinson. If I were to toss whatever team I disagreed with out, I might put the Saints in there because they're no walk to win the NFC South.
Worth noting with the Saints, too. Remember, they played the Carolina Panthers twice, and they actually lost one of those games in Week 17, but it didn't really count. They got the Carolina Panthers after Cam Newton had basically become a shell of himself. They beat him 12-9 in Charlotte in a game that snuffed out the Panthers any hope of surviving. And, this is a team that was, looked great for that stretch where they beat Baltimore on the road by 1 point, then took Minnesota on the road, then, handled the Rams, annihilated the Bengals 51-14, smoked the Eagles 48-7, took care of the Falcons by 2 touchdowns. It looked like they were a dominant team, and then the Cowboys sort of shook them, and they weren't ever really the same again. So, I don't know. I could get behind the Saints. I might be willing to take the Rams out and put the Saints in there instead.
I was just going to say, I think I'm going to pick the Falcons to win a division, so I'm fine with the Saints. And look, Drew Brees was awful after Thanksgiving. And whether that was due to an injury or if you look at his deep ball numbers, they were really off. And maybe it was due to some injury we don't really know about, or maybe he's old, and maybe, I mean, I feel like we kind of see it with Rivers too. Sometimes at the end of the year, they lose a little bit of something. So I don't know. He's getting up there, and that's a stacked division, as you guys both just said.
I'm getting up there too. Like, my writing trails off after Thanksgiving. It happens. You get old, you start forgetting things, or your arm gets sore. We've all seen it happen.
Absolutely. All right, there's our teams. I mean, look, some teams are going to miss the playoffs. It's going to be surprising. It feels weird to talk about the Saints or Rams or any of these teams missing the playoffs in August because it's early. But all of a sudden, it's October 1st, and your team is 2-3 and struggling, and reality sets home. Guys, as always, a pleasure. I bet that we will talk to you again this week.